Howdy, folks. Welcome to another episode of I Hope This Doesn't Suck. Man, oh man, we're coming at you hot with the guest series here. My next guest comes all the way from sunny California, and he's not here, so I guess he doesn't come from sunny California. He lives in sunny Temecula, California, which is like budget San Diego, and he's a YouTuber, photographer, freelance videographer, does all sorts of really, really cool shit. My guest is the one and only Nicolo Maserati. Nick, what's up, man?
What's going on, man? How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing all right. I'm doing all right. So you and I have been friends for a little while now.
Yeah.
And I remember when you first started your YouTube channel. Your YouTube channel, Nicolo Maserati. There's your little plug.
Thanks.
Now, how has that process kind of gone for you? What have you learned along the way in your kind of year on YouTube? Have you learned, do you compare yourself to others in any way? How is your process, unique to you as opposed to, say, a Sidney Dionysian?
Well, I'll tell you, man, being on YouTube just for the last year, one of the things that it's really kind of taught me is just a lot of patience. I think when I first started YouTube, my goal was to be actually a lot like, Peter McKinnon. He kind of, watching his stuff really inspired me to start my YouTube channel. And
that kind of seems to be a common thread with a lot of YouTube. I mean, Peter McKinnon, I feel, is the most influential YouTuber for photographers and videographers, hands down.
Oh yeah, absolutely. There's none other. He's the one. And so he kind of inspired me, and just knowing that he went from wherever he was at to a million, he got to a million subscribers within a year. That like blew my mind, and it kind of made me, realize that it was possible. So we fast forward a year later now, and I'm not at a million subscribers. I'm not even close. But I think one of the things that it's kind of taught me is patience and not doing it just for me, but really just doing YouTube because I enjoy it. And I like making videos, and I like knowing that I'm helping people out.
Absolutely.
So I think that's the most important thing. And then I think the subscribers will come, and if I can eventually make it my, number one source of income, or at least a decent source of income, that's really what I want. But until then, I'm really enjoying just making videos and helping people out.
No, absolutely. And I think that's kind of the right idea to have. Because, a lot of these YouTubers, they start their channels, they have these unrealistic expectations of dreams of grandeur and insane, just everything, but they don't look at kind of how Peter McKinnon did what he did, right?
Right.
Peter McKinnon enjoys the process, and that's why he is where he is, minus, obviously years of experience in the video world and tons of other things. I feel like when you really, really cut it down to its very core, Peter McKinnon just enjoys what he does, and he did it right. And I think that you kind of taking that step to be like, I'm making these videos because I like making videos, I like helping people, is kind of the necessary next step. It's a necessity, because if you don't kind of come along with that mindset, I feel like you're just going to sabotage yourself, right?
Right.
And, another thing is I've noticed that your channel has become a lot more, I guess, consistent lately. You're posting a lot more and, it seems like you're kind of going on a schedule. Now, I know that YouTube and Instagram, they're very similar in the way of be consistent, post on a schedule, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. How important do you really think that is to growing your audience?
I think that's super important. Consistency is probably one of the most important things, when it comes to posting on social media and YouTube and all that, just because you start to get your audience that kind of expects it. It's almost the equivalent of, maybe when you were younger, you knew that your favorite TV show came on at 8 p.m. at night or at 8 a.m. on a Saturday morning, and you knew that. And if you couldn't be there, if it was around this time, you would DVR it, you would record it. But for the most part, you looked forward to that. And so I think, with all these big YouTubers having a schedule, I think that's helped them a lot because people know when to expect their videos and they're ready to watch them when they come up. And so that's kind of what I'm trying to do more, is kind of put it more on a schedule. And I haven't so much committed to a schedule as far as like, I haven't put it out there like videos are on this day and this day, which is something I'm going to do. But I just haven't done it yet. I haven't committed to exact days, but, right now I'm consistently putting up two videos a week. If I can get more, I mean, shoot, I'd like to go the Casey Neistat route and do it, you know, 7 days a week, I think is, you know, what he was doing for a while. Every single day he was posting a video.
Well, and I think, you know, obviously that's kind of the goal for everybody.
Right.
When it comes to YouTubers, obviously, like, I don't have any plans of being a YouTuber, but it would be very cool to be able to be like, okay, all I have to do today, I got to make a video. It's going to make me X amount of dollars just simply because I made it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's kind of the dream. You know what I mean?
Right.
It goes back into the freelance sort of thing, but it truly is working for yourself. There's no one else kind of within that reach of your creative process. And I feel right. like that is obviously something that, I don't know. I feel like a lot of people strive for that, you know, landscape right. photographers, for instance. All you have to do that day is go take a picture of, you know, whatever, Yosemite, right? You want to get some El Capitan action going on. Take that picture. You've already made your money for the day just simply by snapping that picture.
Right.
I mean, that's incredible. And it's crazy. I feel like we live in a time where, like, that is actually doable.
Right.
Now, as far as the YouTube thing goes, okay, so how do you kind of plan on remaining fresh in what feels like a very oversaturated YouTube category, right? Because yeah. like you said, you got inspiration from Peter McKinnon, just as Justin Dunham McDonough did, and yeah. Sydney DeYoung's and you know, yeah. Potato Jet and all those kind of people. Now, I feel like the only way to really stand out is to remain fresh. Now, how do you plan on consistently remaining fresh, not taking other people's topics, et cetera,
right?
And keeping it you know what I mean?
Well, I think kind of one of the other keys to YouTube is seeing certain trends and kind of capitalizing on those trends. So, I mean, the truth is there's really nothing new, you know? I mean, what I mean by that is, you know, you've got so many YouTubers doing the same thing, you know. I mean, Peter McKinnon just uploaded a video today that, you know, somebody commented that another YouTuber had uploaded it around the same time, you know. And so
that was interesting. I saw that as well. The guy was like, F-Stoppers posted this yesterday.
Yeah, exactly. So
and when
I don't
you see
think...
somebody like Peter McKinnon do that, it brings me kind of to my next point up. I feel like Peter McKinnon also is where he is at because he is Peter McKinnon. If that makes
right,
sense.
Right. I mean, people make the same content as Peter McKinnon, but the reason Peter McKinnon got there is because of, you know, there's something about he's fun to watch. You know, I think you and I had a conversation. Yeah. You and I had
a
conversation.
Only way. And this isn't even for you. This is for listeners, etc. You plan on starting a YouTube channel. You need the personality. The
Absolutely.
Only way, this is serious, the only way you will ever succeed on YouTube, not that I have, so I can't really say from personal experience, but I feel like I've noticed this trend, is have a good fucking personality.
Absolutely.
Right? Because I can listen to 15 different people tell me how to make audio sound better on, you know, Adobe Audition.
Right.
The one with the best personality and the best production quality is going to win every single time. But even right. above production quality is going to be that personality.
Well, yeah, I think it's just, and it really has to do with, is it entertaining to watch? You know, I've seen...
Could I be friends with this person?
Right,
if I
exactly.
couldn't be friends with that person, like, I'm good. I don't want to watch this anymore. I'm done. Have a great day.
Well, yeah, I mean, look at... So I remember, like, when I first started getting into Premiere, like, I started in Final Cut, and then I decided... just because I've noticed that all these successful filmmakers, YouTubers, all these people are using Premiere, it must be pretty great. So I wanted to learn. And when I first started, I hated Premiere. So I would go watch tutorials, and there was some tutorials, not even going into YouTube, just Googling a certain Premiere tutorial. And some of these people giving the tutorial are so dry and it's just, it's terrible to listen to them. They're monotone. They're like, Now you're going to go to file and you're going to go to export. And then when you hit export, and it's just like, it's just not entertaining to watch. But if you watch someone like Peter McKinnon or Potato Jet or Sidney Deongzon doing the same exact thing, but with their personalities, it's fun to watch and it makes it a lot easier. And I think that's why those kind of YouTubers find that kind of success versus people that are just monotone, just giving you this information. It's just like, you know, it's like in college when they say the professor makes the class. It's true. You know, the teacher really makes what you're learning enjoyable. It's up to them to bring their personalities out there and make it entertaining for you and help you learn something at the same time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. 100%. Now, okay. Your YouTube channel has, it's kind of fluctuated a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of started with wanting to do some vloggy stuff back in the day, way back in the day. If you guys want to go see some older,
that's an old channel,
so
too.
Great footage. Because frankly, I mean, it's all everybody's older stuff.
Don't even refer them to that. They don't want to
see that. Anyway, it started sort of vloggy, and then it got a little bit more tutorial based. Wow, I couldn't say that. And then it got a little bit into the magic realm. Now, tell me about Niccolo Maserati, the magician. What got you into magic in the first place? It seems like you were into magic far before you were into making videos and stuff like that. So,
you know, it's kind of funny. So I've been doing magic since I was like 9 years old. The first trick that I saw was my dad vanishing a coin into his elbow. He had the coin in his hand and then he put his hand with the coin up against his elbow and he rubbed the coin against his elbow. And then when he took his hand off, the coin was gone. It blew my mind. And it was just, it was so cool. And from then on, I was just kind of like hooked. I wanted to start learning it. And I think as a kid, when a kid gets into magic, I think it has a lot to do with, there's something about magic that makes you feel impressive. Because as a kid, you know, a lot of magicians before they were into magic, you know, these were kids that didn't feel super impressive and they didn't feel like super confident, and learning magic just kind of helped get them out of their shell, which was what magic did for me. And then actually I have my old YouTube channel, which is like, I've had like three channels, and it was like my first YouTube channel, and it was all about me doing magic, and it was just, that's it. It was just, it was old crappy videos. I think I was using a webcam.
Shot on like your webcam.
Yeah, exactly. I was using a webcam to film and there was no audio. And it was really cool. It was fun. So yeah, I was definitely doing magic before, but you know, as far as cameras go and all that stuff, I've been into that since I could remember. But when I was a kid, we just couldn't afford it. But I definitely wanted cameras for sure. I'd take my mom to Best Buy and try to get her to buy me a camera because HD was the thing, you know.
And well, the interesting thing about magic is, you know, you like you said, you would take your mom to Best Buy and be like, it's only like $500. What's the matter?
Right.
Whereas with magic, you can truly do it with nothing.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean,
find
cards
a quarter
and coins
on the street and you can do that vanishing coin trick. In fact, I tried that trick on my son earlier this evening. I was like, you know what? Some of that magic stuff looks pretty interesting.
Yeah.
I'm going to try this one out. And I tried the vanishing coin and it blew his mind. And it was super. He was so excited about it.
Oh, I love that.
So thank you for that one.
Yeah, no worries. That's awesome. That's the thing too, is like, for some reason, kids just get the biggest kick. They're the best to do magic for because they're not worried about how you did the trick. They're not worried about outsmarting you. And you know, when I'm doing magic to adults, sometimes they're just like, no, they just feel like it's a competition and they don't want you to feel like
I've been that way with you.
Yeah, I know.
In multiple occasions, you'll be like, okay, I want you to clear your mind. All right. Think of X.
Yeah.
And then think of this.
Right.
And then I'll do those things. And in my mind, it'll be like, haha, I'm going to trick him. I'm going to just do all sorts of fucking that. And then occasionally I trip you up. And then occasionally it's still like, what the fuck?
Right. Yeah.
What did you even do?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot of fun, man. It's really cool doing magic, and I hope you learn some more stuff, you know, that you can show your son, and You know, maybe he can get into magic, you know, maybe he can get, you can get him a little magic kit, you know.
Dude, from... he would be such an insane magician. I don't even know if I would want him. He would fucking, he would blow my mind all the time.
Yeah, dude. And then, well, you know, you guys move to Vegas.
Seeing the way that he soaks up information, it, mm-hmm. No, that would be too, I can't do it. No.
Hey, think about it this way. What if your kid gets his own stage show in 15, 20 years in Vegas? And he's, I mean, making mom, fine, and dad millions.
But, you know, I obviously I want him to do whatever he wants to do.
Right.
And if he gets into magic, great.
Yeah.
But okay, stepping more into the realm of magic again, but kind of more in like a psychological way. You said, okay, magic was kind of your way to be impressive as you felt unimpressive as a kid.
Yeah.
Magic as a coping mechanism. So what, okay. What about specifically magic kind of brings that shitty self-esteem up to a positive outlook on yourself, right? And we're not talking, yeah, about, you know, a fucking bunny in a hat trick or something like that. We're talking about getting down to your core, to your deepest element. And it doesn't even have to be magic, right? Because a lot of people do a lot of things to kind of get impressed themselves to where they want to be. For,
right,
like, for instance, I, you know, getting into photography, getting into some sort of art, getting into all sorts of different things can truly, truly help, mm-hmm, your self-esteem.
Yeah.
Now, how do you balance this with not, whilst also not having like a sick fucking ego about it?
I mean, well, you know, like I said, it really started when, you know, I was a kid that didn't feel super impressive. And I think one of the big things too was knowing that you can do something as a kid that can fool adults. Like, that was an amazing thing. When I could do a magic trick to an adult and it just blew their mind and they had no idea. I don't know, just there's something about that that kind of boosts your confidence. And, well, I'll also
that,
tell,
like,
you,
it's that cartoon aspect, right? Like, for instance, when you get into, you know, Charlie Brown or any of those older cartoons, all the adults seem to just be stupid, right?
Right.
Like, And this isn't a children's cartoon, but South Park is like an incredible example for me of the kids are geniuses and the adults are incredibly stupid. That sort of thing of like, I was able to fool you. Does that kind of give you that sort of like extra oomph of like, all right, now I'm the one in charge. Now I'm the one in control. Is magic about control? Or is it about truly just having a good time?
I mean, it's, I think as a kid, that's kind of how it starts. It starts kind of just, you want to impress people, maybe not so much control, but just impress people. When I was younger, I guess, well, in high school times, I would use magic on girls to talk to girls. That was like my way of breaking the ice. So I think it's more of, not so much to control, God, someone. Yeah, dude, I'm telling you, man. Card tricks get ladies.
You're that fucking guy.
I was the guy. I didn't wear a top hat or a cape or anything. But
I'm saying, like, you know, you see those fucking YouTube videos. Not YouTube. Facebook. Like, you show up around Facebook, there's square videos. You're like, if I can pull this trick off, you have to give me a kiss. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if you were that specific kind of guy. But it's interesting. It's interesting to see that parallel.
Yeah, no, I didn't use it quite so pervertedly.
Sinister.
Yeah, I pretty much what I would do is that was my kind of way to be able to talk to girls that I wouldn't have been able to talk to otherwise. You know, I think, you know, I know you're you know, married and you're, you know, you got a kid and all that stuff, but, you know, being just kind of thinking about, well, I mean, this may work for you, you know, maybe when you first started talking to your wife, when you guys first met, but, you know, walking up to a girl, you know, is terrifying for a lot of guys, and trying to come up with something interesting to say is sometimes hard, and you end up walking up there and you stutter and you piss your pants and, you know, you fart and you burp, mate. And yeah. And so I think magic was just kind of my way to kind of like, number one, like to just go up and talk to them, but number two, for them to remember me. And then you kind of make, there's a connection there, and maybe not a romantic connection every time, but more of just a kind of connection, like, you know, having a girl that you like come up and try to get you to show her friends magic. And you're like, wow, I'm special in this girl's head. You know, I think it was just kind of a cool way when I was younger to kind of break the ice, you know? And even now to this day, sometimes if I take a girl on a date, I'll show her a magic trick. And it works, man. Chicks dig magic.
Chicks dig magic. Yeah. Nicola Maserati, 2019. Chicks dig magnets. Okay. Anyway. So, okay. Really, okay. Let's get back into the personality side of YouTube.
Yeah.
Okay. So a lot of people will call you out on YouTube, right? Like, I feel like YouTube is the great divider. It is what really shows people who people are, right? If you're at some point a shitty fuck to somebody on the internet, it will show up in your YouTube comments at some point. Because somebody will do a deep dive on you, find it, and be like, wow, this guy did this fucking thing, right?
Right.
How important is being truly genuine in a YouTube environment? And what I mean by being truly genuine is if you're in a fucking bad mood, that comes across. If you're overly happy, that comes across.
Yeah.
Do you feel as though a lot of these people put on an act, or is it more, I enjoy this person because I genuinely feel like I can have a conversation with them, right? Peter McKinnon, for instance, again, I hate to always bring this fucking guy up, but
he's
great
though. He's great.
But he's always like, this is really what I'm like. Like I'm honestly like this in real life. I don't put on a show. I don't put on a fucking happy face. He doesn't say fucking because, you know.
YouTube. I've heard him say fucking.
Well, yeah. I mean, it'll be like, boop. But the thing is, how important do you feel being genuine is? And if you are kind of lacking some of that genuine nature, do you think adding that sort of spice into your YouTube videos would kind of help propel them to where you want them to be?
So when you say spice, do you mean like adding some good personality, even when you don't feel like it? Is that what you're saying?
No, what I mean by spice is...
Or throwing in when you're pissed off and talking
totally
about
happy
it
all the time. Show off some emotions of like, I'm not super fucking happy.
Yeah. I think it's kind of tough. That's a tough question. Because I mean, here's the thing. Here's the way I look at YouTube. People come to see you because they want to see your content. They enjoy watching your content. They enjoy all that stuff. They enjoy hearing you. And, you know, it's like I've had, you know, even just a friend of mine who really wants to do, he wants to do Twitch streams. He does a lot of gaming. He's really into Fortnite. And he's a really mellow, you know, not super outgoing guy. Just kind of, you know, he's just a mellow guy. And that's the way he is. And, you know, personality is very big when it comes to that stuff. And so in my opinion, I look at it almost like when you walk into work, you're behind the counter and you need to help someone. I think it's important to, you know, check your problems at the door. Now, if it's something and you want to get personal with your viewers, if you've got some viewers and you feel comfortable saying, you know what, you know, this person in my life passed away, and I'm having a tough time.
Oh, God, I'm not talking about that.
Well, you know, I mean, but yeah, I mean, getting real. I mean, I've heard YouTubers really get real with their subscribers. And sometimes that being that genuine is a good thing because, so you know, these subscribers can be, it's like our friends, you know? And so, yeah, it's good. But I think for the most part, it's about really... It's even if you're not in a great mood, if you got a ticket today and your car got towed and all this stuff happened, I think it's still super important to remember what you have to do and not let that affect you because, you know, ultimately you're doing this for the love of helping people and that's what it needs to be. It's just like a job. It's like a customer service job. You put on a happy face and you do what you can for the other people and, you know, And that's it. But in certain instances, I think it is good to be genuine.
So, yeah, and I tend to disagree, right? I feel like if I got a parking ticket and I went home planning on making a YouTube video, that parking ticket will do one of two things. It will either make its way into the YouTube video or I will not make that YouTube video.
Right.
Just as a podcast, right? Like, for instance, say, let's do a little scenario here.
Okay.
I got a parking ticket today. There you go. It starts with that.
Okay.
guys, I got a fucking parking ticket today. All right. Now, parking tickets are such a huge pain in my ass. So if I come across as a little crass or a little annoyed in this fucking video, well, then I'm sorry. Okay. But here, I'm going to fucking teach you how to make your audio sound good. We're going to feel better by the end. Let's do this.
Oh, yeah. See that? That's beautiful.
And that's what I'm saying, right? Like, having that sort of like, hey, I'm in a bad mood, but I'm going to make something good out of that. I feel like that's way better than, okay, I got a parking ticket. I'm in a bad mood. Hey, guys. So today we're going to be talking about making blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with that. I totally agree with that. You know, that kind of, you're right. That totally brings some more kind of,
it brings another element of your person into that, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. No, I completely agree. All right. Well, I will say you were right and I was less right.
Well, it's not about a case of right and wrong. Okay. Twitch streaming. Have you done any of it?
No, I thought about it. I mean, you know, I got into playing games for a little while. Actually, once I got my my PC, you know, this is a custom built PC. I kind of started to play games. I figured, you know, why not? Obviously, I'm using all the stuff that's in there, the graphics card and, you know, everything like that, and the RAM for video editing, but it kind of doubles as a gaming computer because it has all those good specs. So I kind of thought about it for a little while. It's just, I'm not super into gaming. I just can't commit to playing for hours every single day of the same game over and over again, you know, or switching another game. I'm very impatient when it comes to games, and I'm very picky when it comes to games. And I mean, I, you know, the Fortnite craze is still going on. I think I played for about a month and a half.
We played all of the Fortnite that I played.
Yeah. See, and that's pretty much right where I'm at. It's just, it didn't last long.
Getting into gaming in general here, I don't ever talk about gaming anymore. I don't talk about video games. I mean, okay. That's a lie. I talked about Red Dead Redemption a little bit. Still haven't finished
I heard it was good. I've never played it, but I heard it was good.
For those of you who are wondering, hey, did Jake finish it? And if you're wondering that, why? First of all, anyway, I don't hardly game anymore.
Right.
Is there something kind of about this lifestyle? Okay, and I fucking hate calling it a lifestyle because that makes me feel like I'm like, yeah, I'm a creative. But what I'm really saying is this sort of video photo-based lifestyle that kind of really cuts out a lot of your time for gaming, right? Because I remember when you and I first started talking, you're like, dude, I'm playing fucking Black Ops. Ah, playing Black Ops again.
I was on Black Ops 2 for a while. That was a great game.
You were on Black Ops 2 for a really long time.
Yeah.
But now that you've kind of taken that leap into becoming a consistent YouTuber and really putting your 100% self into this, I never hear about you playing games. You and I play, like I said, you and I played all of the Fortnite that I played.
Yeah.
You know what game I play the most of right now? The most of any fucking game. And I have an Xbox One, a PlayStation 4, and a computer that's, you know, it can play some fucking games.
Angry Birds on your phone.
PUBG Mobile.
PUBG Mobile. I knew it was on your phone. Called
it. Absolutely.
I'll take the credit for that.
And I play PUBG Mobile with my wife and my brothers-in-law. We all fucking get down on some PUBG Mobile. And you know why I play PUBG Mobile more than anything else?
Why is that?
It requires the least effort.
Oh. See? That's my kind of
like,
game.
After this, say I message my wife. I'm like, you want to get down on some PUBG Mobile? We can just fucking play right away. I don't have to turn on an Xbox. I don't have to do anything. And as lazy as that sounds, I don't have to do anything. I have to open an app on my phone and then I'm off shooting people in fucking Arengel or Sandhawk or Miramar or the new shitty map Vikendi.
So let me ask you this really quick. I mean, is that after, you know, being together for years, you know, back in the day, it used to be, hey, want to get down? Now it's want to get down on PUBG Mobile. It went
so
from,
I don't like bringing that kind of conversation into this podcast. Right. But what I'll say is no,
no. Okay.
Because PUBG Mobile is, it's just this super easy thing. And I hardly get to see my wife as much as I want to.
Yeah.
Right. She works crazy hours. Fucking bless her heart. Like, I don't understand how she does what she does. She's an incredible woman. She blows my mind every day.
Women anyway, are much more resilient and intelligent than men. I will say that.
Oh my God. She's way smarter than me. Dude. Yeah, anyway. But you know what? When she's at work, if it's like downtime or whatever, we can play some fucking PUBG Mobile. And I get that interaction with her. I get that little bit of time that I wouldn't normally have been able to spend with her on a weekday.
Right.
Right. Instead of talking on the phone, we're fucking killing people in PUBG Mobile, getting winner, winner chicken dinners. And it's just this awesome feeling.
Yeah.
Now, getting back to the gaming. First of all, have you played anything?
I mean, the only things that I really play are stuff on my phone. I'll play, you know, I don't know. There's a bunch of different games on there, but
okay. What phone games are Nicolo Maserati playing?
Oh shoot. I like, there's one called Stickman that I play like every day when I got like a few minutes just to kind of chill, or I want to kind of, you know, just mentally just shut down for a little while and mentally check out. I go and play the Stickman game, and it's, You're like a stick dude, and you roll, and then you're like in midair, so you press down on the phone, and it's like a Spider-Man thing.
We're cutting this segment short.
Yeah.
Because nobody wants to hear about our
And then what you
habits.
Do... No, I'm just kidding.
So real quick, though, cool. You should download PUBG Mobile. We should get down on some PUBG Mobile at some point.
Yeah,
it's free.
I would definitely...
It's 100% free.
Yeah, I'd be down to try it. I may get a
Folks,
little...
Folks, this episode is sponsored by PUBG Mobile. Thank you so much, Tencent Games, for throwing in that little bit of extra bucks my way. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, no, PUBG Mobile.
That'd
be
pretty sweet. Tencent just
you never
messages
know, man.
Me like, hey, man, love the podcast. You're great. Fantastic work. We want to sponsor you, man.
I think
I'd
it
be
could
like,
happen.
Okay. Cool, man. And then inside, I'd be like, sponsor time.
I can't. You know, I'm just curious really quick. Because we're in this kind of singing segment, I don't want to let this go.
Oh, dear God.
Have your listeners ever heard you whistle vibrato?
No.
Well, we're here. Needs to happen.
Oh my God! What do you want me to whistle?
I don't know. Metallica. I don't know. Whatever you want. Justin Bieber.
I don't
let's
whistle
do that.
Metallica.
Let's keep it.
Think of something better than that. Jesus Christ! I don't even like Metallica. Hot take.
Whoa.
I don't.
You don't like Metallica?
Fucking sue me.
My lawyer will be calling you tomorrow. No. I don't know. Whoever you want, whistle some song.
Okay, folks. I think we're going to cut it. We're going to call it right here. Nick, thank you so much for being on the show.
Hey, thank you for having me, man. Super psyched and honored to be on your podcast. And by the way, just so you know, because we're about to cut this, this episode did not suck. So don't worry about that.
Well, I do appreciate that. But yeah, so real quick, let's let you do some plugging. Tell the audience where they can find your work, what to look forward to, get people, you know, drawn in, man. What's up?
Yeah. So, you can find me at youtube.com/Nicolo, Nicolo Maserati, like the car. So Nicolo Maserati, you can find me there uploading twice a week. Trying to get some more collaborations in and just kind of get together with some other YouTubers. Today I just uploaded a video with Sydney Dyongzon and I. So that was a really cool collaboration, and it was really cool just kind of getting to work with him a little bit, even though we don't even live in the same state. It was just really cool. So yeah, Nicolo Maserati on YouTube. Feel free to look me up, subscribe, and feel free to hit me up on Facebook at facebook.com/Nicolo Maserati.
Perfect, man. Do you have an Instagram?
I do have an Instagram. Gosh, you think I would have been prepared for this? Yeah, if you look up Nicolo Maserati.
You think you'd be prepared for the part where you get to tell everybody, hey, this is where you can find
me.
Yeah,
if anything. Nicolo Maserati on Instagram. You can find me on there. And Jake and I are actually friends. So you can even just go into his friends list and find me there. But Nicolo Maserati on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube, all the same, nothing different. And yeah.
Well, awesome, man. Well, thanks so much again for being on the show, Nick. Folks, if you seriously, I gotta say, because now I'm back on Anchor, I seriously appreciate all of the listens. Everybody who's just who's giving me any of the time of your day, whether you like are loathing every second listening to my stupid voice, or you're just loving what you're getting. Seriously, I sincerely appreciate you. And I'm going to keep going. If you have any comments for me, just let me know. Really, sincerely, I want to hear what you have to say. If you have any things that you want me to talk about, message me on Instagram. That's where you can message me, not Facebook, man. Facebook's too personal. Just stay away from my fucking I'm just kidding. Thank you guys very, very much again for the support. If you're listening during the daytime or the nighttime, man, I hope it's just a great time. And, well, that's it.